This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a good Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that you're the God who feeds us, that you're the God that provides, Lord, for the deepest needs of our being, God. Father, we pray that you speak to us, O Lord, one more time today and draw us closer to you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the sad things that has happened in our generation is that people have been made to believe that we as human beings, we just have a body. We're just a bag of chemical. And we're supposed to feed that body, exercise. We're supposed to go to school and study to make sure that, you know, we can get a good job so that that good job will be able to pay, so that our body can live in a nice house, so that our body can drive in a nice car, and so that, so all these things, so that we can be known, and or that our name and our face can be known and things like that. We've been told that those are our needs. And even when people aren't feeling well, when people are depressed, when people are unhappy, they're told that all you need to do is take this pill. And sure, if the problem is really caused by the fact that something is bad in the chemicals in your body and that pill will fix it, that's fine. But there's a big flaw in that. It ignores the fact that a human being is not just a body. He's not just a physical being. He's a spiritual being. He's got a soul and he's got a spirit. In fact, a human being is more a spirit than he is a physical body. A human being is more a soul than he is a physical body. And so when we approach life, a life that is centered on what we're going to put on our body, how we're going to, what we're going to give our body, what pills we're going to give to it, what clothes we're going to put on it, what house that body is going to live in, what pleasure we're going to be able to give to that body, and so on. It's a mistake, you know. And when at some point I felt led to begin to just go through the New Testament. I've not finished, but just go through the New Testament and begin to. The Bible has two parts: Old Testament, New Testament, and to begin to just look at principles that Jesus taught, like direct quotes from him on the principles of life. And it was interesting to me that when I did that, I ran into the first one, the first principle that Jesus uttered that is recorded in the Bible. Is actually when Jesus says that men will not live on bread alone. That he said that men will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so that's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It's a passage that you're familiar with. It's when Jesus gets tempted by the devil. So let's read it, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1. And we're just going to read through verse 4. I'm only going to, I think you, if you've been reading the Bible for a while, you know this story, the devil comes and tempts Jesus three times, but I'm only going to talk about that. I'm only going to talk about that first one, the things that Jesus did in order for him to survive. Verse 4, chapter 4 from verse 1. Someone want to read 2 or 4? Just those first 4 verses. Thank you.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Yeah. You see, so the devil came and told Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, come on, take these stones and turn them into bread." Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. He had gone out in the desert to fast. The Bible says, led by the Spirit. He didn't just decide, "I'm going to go do this." But the Spirit led him at the beginning of his ministry, when he was starting, before he went out and started to talk to people. The Spirit led him to take 40 days and spend that 40 days alone in the desert with God. We don't know much. We don't have a lot of details on what went on there. But we know this was the Spirit of God that led him there. And after he was done 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was hungry. And obviously, and the devil came and told him, "But look, you're the Son of God and you're hungry. Why don't you use your power and go ahead and turn these stones into bread, and so you can feed yourself?" And Jesus said, "No, I won't do that, because the Bible, it is written that man will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So the question is, why could he not have both? Right? He didn't say that man will not live by men will. He didn't say that men will only live by the word that comes from the mouth of God. He didn't say that men will only live, that food is bread. There's nothing wrong with food. And so why is it that this seems to be a scenario where it's either one or the other? Jesus is telling them, "I'm not going to make to turn stones into bread. I'm not going to provide bread for myself right now, because man does not live by bread alone. There's the word of God that I can live by, and there's the bread that I can live by." But you can, logically, you can have both. But clearly here, Jesus' his response, it's as if he's clearly saying, "I cannot have both. I'm living from everywhere that comes from the mouth of God. But so I'm not going to turn these stones into bread and feed my body right now." So what was the conflict? What could he not have both at that particular moment? It's not because he was hungry, the Bible says. And there was nothing wrong with him trying to meet that hunger. But in order for him to meet that hunger, he would have needed to cheat, to use his power as the Son of God, to turn those stones into bread to feed himself. And he came to be our example. When you and I fast at the end of our fast, we don't have supernatural power and turn stones into bread. He had to give us an example that he lives like us. When he's hungry, he had to go ahead and walk and get back, leave the desert, find his way back to the city and go there and find food and buy food, or go to his mother or whatever, get food and feed himself. And he was saying, "No, I'm not going to take a shortcut, because that will displease God. And if I'm going to survive, I'm not just body. I also, there's another thing that I need to live by is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I came here in the desert in order to spend time with God and get that word from him." And so I'm not suddenly going to compromise my ability to hear from God by taking a shortcut in order to feed my own body. And you have to realize that for you and for me, we have, and the devil comes after every human being. Against every human being, there is an enemy, whether you like it or not. There is a living God and there is a living devil. And that living devil is at work in your life. And one of the first things that the devil is going to try to do in your life, his purpose is to destroy you. His purpose is to make you blind. His purpose is to make sure that none of the good plans that God intended for your life come to pass. And when he comes to you, when he sees you making some effort, when he sees you making some effort towards seeking God, when he sees you like he saw Jesus going in the desert, making time, responding to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, I said, told him, go to the desert and fast. Take a break from feeding your body so you can focus on that other type of food that exists, that comes from the mouth of God. And that will give you something that no man and no food and no other human being can give to you. When the devil saw Jesus doing that, the devil also came to him. And he came to him not telling him to go murder someone or do something. He came with him to tell him, look, meet a legitimate need that your body has. You're feeling hungry. You can give yourself some, you deserve to give yourself some food. And look, you're far away from every place. Why don't you use these supernatural powers that you have and turn stone to bread and feed yourself? And Jesus knew, even though I am hungry, I have to fulfill that hunger in a way that is going to honor God. I am going to take a shortcut. And I need, and because in life is not just about me feeding my body. There's also a God. There's also a word that comes from God, and my spirit also needs that. So we have to realize that our communion with God, the ability for us to go before God and hear from Him and receive something from Him, is an essential. It is something that being able to do the will of God is what this is about. Being able to go to God and say, look, God, I can't just live. I'm not just a body. I can't just go on feeding myself. There's something else that I need. I need a communion with God. I need a relationship with God. My spirit doesn't just feed. My spirit doesn't feed from bread or chicken or whatever else that we consume. My spirit feeds from that ability to have unhindered communion with God, from that ability to go ahead and do the will of God. When I spend time alone, what was happening during that time when Jesus is in the desert? I believe God was talking to him about the next 3.5 years that he was going to spend ministering and doing things for God. He was receiving instruction. You'll go here and you'll do this. You go here and you don't, it's going to be 3.5 years. At the end of that, you're going to have to end up in Jerusalem. God was giving him a picture. There's only one other person in the Bible who went in a desert and spent 40 days alone praying and fasting for 40 days in front of him. It was Moses. And when Moses did it, God was giving him instruction on how to build the tabernacle. God was telling him, you're going to make it like this, you're going to make it like that. And I believe that when Jesus went in the desert, that's also what was happening there. And just like Moses, it was God who told him, go up to the mountain. He didn't come up with that and say, no, I'm not going to eat. God told him, you go up to the mountain and just be there the first time. And he spent 40 days there, and God gave him a plan of what he wanted to do on the earth. And when Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, I believe that's also what God was, the Father was showing him. You're going to go ahead and you're going to do this. You're going to do that. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. And give him an overall plan. And with that, Jesus was ready to go ahead and start his ministry. But, you know, at the end, in that ability for Jesus to go before God and receive that word from God, that was food, and his ability to go out there and be able to execute on what God had told him, that was something that nourished his spirit and that nourished his inner man. And he was saying that, yeah, I'm hungry, but there's something else that I need to protect. I need to live by the word that comes from God. And right now, even though my body is hungry, there's something in me that is greatly rejoicing. There's something in me that is so full. I'm not going to need to take a shortcut here in order to feed my body. I'll show you another instance where Jesus seems to say that he does not need food. That's in John chapter. That's in John chapter 4,
Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Yeah. The Bible, if you read that passage earlier, it says actually that Jesus was tired. It said that Jesus had been tired from the journey, and if you read that, that's in verse 6. And Jesus, tired, had his wife from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So this is Jesus once again in a place where clearly he's tired, clearly his body is in need, and. In fact, the Bible said that his disciples left in order to go buy food because apparently they were all tired. Here's a situation where Jesus is clearly tired from a long journey. And because he's tired, obviously his disciples go and they try to find food. But when they bring food to him, Jesus doesn't seem as interested. He doesn't go like, oh yeah, well guys, thank you. I've been really waiting for this. He actually says, no, it's like, look, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Now, but what's his point there? And they actually thought someone had brought him food. You know, they said, could someone have brought him food? He said, no, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He was trying, you can ask, well, why couldn't he have both? Okay, you just deal the will of the Father. Now, what can't you eat? Why are you talking about these two things as if they're, if you have one, you don't need the other? What Jesus is trying to say is that he did not want anybody to come to him and to try to make him believe that the needs of his body and his earthly needs were anywhere more important than the hunger and the thirst that he had in his inner being for God. And nowhere did he never wanted anybody to try to convince him that that inner need, that the food that he could feed his body was in any way more important than the food that he had to feed his spirit and his soul, which he clearly says here, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to do his work. There is the need in the heart of every man. There's a need in the God who created us, the God who made our spirits, the God who made our soul, made them such that our being is truly fed. Our being is truly fed when we go and see God, receive his will, and go out there and do it. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is what a person is supposed to live on. The truth is that today, what does that mean for you and me? The truth is today, even those who call themselves Christian, even those who say that they want to follow God and they're a believer, the truth is that they believe that the other needs, the earthly needs, are more important for them. And so people panic. If someone doesn't know, if someone loses their job, they do not know how they're going to feed themselves tomorrow, next week, that is a serious situation. It is true. And people will try to go out there and try to find a job. They will panic. I mean, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to feed myself? It's a legitimate need. It is not bad. It is correct for a person to be concerned about that. It is correct for a person to say that, well, yeah, how am I going to feed myself? I'm going to feed my family. It's a crisis. That is true. But let's be honest with ourselves. If suddenly you found that God did not speak to you anymore, will you be as worried? Will you be as worried if for one day, if tomorrow you have no way that you're going to find food because you don't have the money and there's nowhere else for you to go? You will be concerned. But are we concerned when we go for one day and we have not heard from God one day and we do not know what His word is? You see, there's another thing that I want to explain from this. You've heard that passage before, that man will not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I talk here all the time about reading the Bible. We need to read it. If you're a Christian, you need to have read it. You've been a Christian for a while, you need to have read the whole Bible, because it's a book that God wrote for us. But let me say to you, maybe at the risk of maybe scaring some of you, that when Jesus is saying men will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, He's not talking about reading the Bible. Jesus didn't go into the desert for 40 days to read the Bible. Right? He wasn't saying to the devil, I don't need bread right now. I have my scroll over here. I'll read it. Right? That's not what He's trying to say. He's trying to say that men will live by word that proceed from the mouth of God straight to you. And that word may come, God may use the Bible to bring out a verse or a passage that speaks to your current circumstances. But whether He does that or whether He speaks to you directly, Jesus is saying that a man lives by going to God and hearing what is God saying to me for today, for my current circumstances. What is God saying to me about my family? What is God saying to me about my job? What is God saying to me, for those of you who are married, what is God saying to me about my husband, about my wife, about my children? What is God saying to me about my job, about my future? What is God's word for me today? And I want to challenge you, if you go to many believers, you even those who call themselves Christian, you ask them today, what is God's word for you? What is the word that proceeded from the mouth of God for you today? Most of them will be unable to give you a clear answer. If you went to Jesus on any given day and say, what is the word that proceeded from the mouth of the Father to you today? He will always tell you what that word is. And that's why often you saw Jesus at odds with people. His own disciple will come and tell Him, let's go over here. He says, no, I gotta go over there. Why? Because He knew on any given day what the word of His Father was for Him that day. When He goes to a town and He says to a man that everyone considered a sinner, tonight I must stay in your house. How did He know that? Because that day the Father told Him, you're going to go over to Jericho. You're going to go there and there's going to be a man. He's going to be on a tree. When you see that man, you're going to go into his house. His name is Zacchaeus. You're going to see him there and you're going to go and stay in his house. And like I said, Jesus came to be our example. He did not cheat. Even though He was God in the flesh, He did not use His power as God. He limited Himself to the resources that you and I have. He limited Himself to living by the words that the Father spoke to Him every day, so that He can be an example for us. And so that day, the Father must have told Jesus, look, there's a man over there. He's hungry. He's a sinful man, but he's been yearning to become right with me. He's ready to make things right. When you go over there, walk past that road and look, there's going to be a man on a tree. His name is Zacchaeus. Call him down and you're going to stay with him. And so he went there and that was his food. Because of that, His inner man, his spirit, was always rejoicing, was always in a state of being full. What I'm trying to say to you today is this. The reason why we are so caught up, when you see people being unhappy because their earthly, quote-unquote, needs aren't being fulfilled as much as they want to, and they are unhappy about that, it's because they are never feeding off this other food. They don't realize that they are not just a body, that they are not just a person living in a physical world with physical, material, financial needs, that they are also a human being, that a spirit that God created to live off of having this communion with God that causes them to know what the Word of God is to them. And when they go out and fulfill that Word of God, there is a satisfaction, a fullness, a wholeness, an inner health that comes to them that almost not causes their physical and material needs to disappear, but makes it less important and less prominent. And therefore, that person can go about rejoicing and being fulfilled, even though in the natural, they seem to be in terrible need. One of the things that happens when people have lost God, they make frequent trips to their fridge, right? They constantly are looking for something to eat, or they sleep a lot, right? It's like Jonah. When he's on that boat and the storm comes, everyone is like, we're sinking. They go look for the prophet. And at the time when the boat is sinking, he's on the bottom of the boat sleeping. That's one of the ways, because that's when people aren't fulfilled and satisfied in God, that's all they have left. They run to feed themselves, they run to sleep, or they run to fulfill their sexual pleasures. All these things come, people go to all these things because somewhere the inner being has not been fed. And they are aware that something is deeply lacking there. But then they're going to, instead of trying to fulfill that, the devil has convinced them, maybe if you just get food right now, you're going to be happy. Maybe if you just go ahead and satisfy, maybe if you just get a relationship, maybe if you just find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and someone you can hang out with, you're going to be fulfilled. And the truth is that that's not true. If that were the case, you wouldn't have people who are famous and rich and so on taking their own lives. Jesus had food to eat. And he said this to the disciple, you know nothing about it. Even his own disciple who had been with him for some time now, Jesus told them, I have food to eat. You don't know anything about right now. Why is that? Later on, they did know about it. When they became spirit-filled believers who began to walk the way Jesus walked, they learned to live by that bread. And so you have someone like John who is in the the apostle of Jesus, John, who's been cast out in an island of a prisoner island because of the faith, and he's alone, and he's cast out into this place. It's a dire situation. You would think that the man will be weeping and crying and complaining, but it said no. On the day of the Lord, on Sunday, whether it was Saturday, Sunday, I don't know. In the Lord's day, He called out to God. He was in the spirit. He was focused on heaven. And because of that, a vision came to him. He said that I was in the spirit on that day, on the day of the Lord. That even though he was in this situation, he knew that there was something else, that he wasn't just a physical man who needed to be in a physically comfortable environment. He knew that I need to commune with God. And so he said, I was in the spirit. I don't know what exactly he was doing. He was praying. He was seeking God. He was trying to get away from God. But then a vision came to him. And we have a whole book for it. It's a book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. It did not come to someone who was in a comfort and who was in a good situation. He came to someone who, despite of his physical state, despite of his earthly circumstances, he understood that there's more to this life. In order for me to be fulfilled and to function, I need to have a communion with God. And to that man, a word came. To that man, a word came. A whole book that we have there, that God says to us, even certain things that is clear there that can't even be expressed properly in human terms, were shown to John on that island of Patmos. I believe that one of the worst things that can happen to a person, one of the worst things that can happen to a church, is when God stops speaking to them. You know, and there is, and this is where I'm gonna close now. How does that word from God proceed? How do we get it? I'm gonna read two passages to you. For the interest of time, I'm not just gonna turn there and read that for you. So when Jesus said that to the devil that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he was quoting actually a passage from the Old Testament. And I'm going to read you the context of that so we understand, to further understand what he was talking about. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, right? He led them through what? A desert, okay? And where was Jesus when the devil is tempting him? In the desert. He led them to the desert for 40 years. And Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. To humble yourself and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commandment. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell these 40 days. Know then in your heart that a man is, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. God took these people for 40 years through a desert. He brought them to a place where they could not have fields, where they could not raise cattle. He brought them to a place that was dry and empty, where you completely have to depend on God. And the only way that they had to survive was if God stepped in, and every day God did something for them. God had to send special food from heaven every morning. If they did not have that food, they were going to physically starve and die in that desert. And for us, that manna, for us today, that is the word of God. Just like the manna fell every day, every morning, and every day God gave them just enough for that day. It was not something that you could stock up and say, okay, I gather some today and then for 2 days I'm going to be lazy about it. You had to get up every day, gather up that manna, feed from it. And not only that, there was a window of time every morning where you could get it. The Bible says when the sun rise up and it began to, the whole thing melted. So if you did not get up early enough to get it, you missed it for that day. It is like that with the word of God, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God every day, in that you need to get up in the morning, hear from God. Say, Lord, what is your word for me today? What is your word for me for this day? And God gives it to you, and that word is good for that day. And you cannot say, well, God spoke to me yesterday or he spoke to me last week. It does not work like that. It is a daily thing. You have to go to God and say to him, today, I know just even saying that sounds foreign to most of us, right? But the truth is that that's because we have built lives where we can go on for many days without hearing from God. We can go on for many days without hearing from Him. And that is a sad thing. It has to make us think about what is the life that I am living. If I'm living a life when I can go on for several days and nothing, and I don't know what is God saying to me today. You know, you couldn't take that manna, save it up, and say, okay, I'm going to live on it on the next day. You could not. It was a daily thing. We have to hear from God daily like that. And not only that, it wasn't that you couldn't sleep until noon and say, okay, at 1 o'clock, I'm going to go collect my manna. There was a discipline to it. You had to get up in the morning and go get it. In the same way, I believe that today, it is recurring in the Bible. Whether you look at Job or whatever, the Bible says he got up early in the morning, he went and prayed for him and his family and things like that. You got to begin the day. If it is truly that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then the truth is also that when we begin the day, before we begin today, we have to go to God and say, Lord, at least give God the opportunity to speak to us and to give us the word for that day. And so now here is the thing that I'm going to end with. Why is that not the case? Why don't we hear from God? Why don't we get that word daily? I think part of it is lack of interest. We believe that we got this, right? We believe that we got this, you know, that life is fine. I got my job. I'm going to go there. I'm going to make money. I'm going to come up. We've been convinced that that's all we need. And if those things are covered, life is okay. And we've somehow become unaware that our inner being lives and is sustained by that daily communion with God. And but the other reason is because in the past, it is possible that in the past God spoke to us, but we did not obey. In order for us, God speaks to the person. By the way, the passage that I read, that was Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 through 5 or so. And here I'm going to read to you another passage. This is 1 Samuel chapter 28. From verse 4, 1 Samuel 28, from verse 4, to verse 7. Someone else read that for us. Thank you.
Now the Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said.
Yeah, one. Here was a man who was facing a life-threatening situation. His enemy, the Philistine, gathered. These were another kingdom, enemies of Israel. They gathered to fight Saul, who was the king of Israel. And he saw, when he saw the Philistine army, he had a sense that he had no strength to go and fight these people. He knew this battle was not going to go down well. And the Bible said He inquired of the Lord. He tried to pray, to ask God, God, what shall I do? How am I going to overcome people? How am I going to win this war, this battle? But the Bible said the Lord did not answer him, nor by a dream, or by Urim, or prophet. God gave him no word, through no means. And this is one passage where you can see that God speaks to people through many, multiple ways. But in this case, through none of those ways did God speak to King Saul. Now, I can think of a more awful thing to happen to a man. I read this year when I was back in February, in mid-February when I took a retreat. I was reading through this. When I got to this, I had to stop and get up and begin to pray and plead with God. God, never ever let me get to the point where I become like this, where I call on God and there's just no word. When you know that God is no longer speaking to you or speaking to the church. And why did God not speak to him? Because in the past, God had spoken to him and he decided not to obey. Multiple times, not once, not twice, multiple times. God told him, go do this. He went there and he either didn't do it or he did his own version of it. Or he did half of what God told him to do. And God speaks to us. When Jesus said, when they told him, Rabbi, please get some food to eat. He said, my food is what? To do the will of the one who sent me. He speaks to me, then I go and I do it. He speaks to me, then I go and do it. The truth is that often, sometimes God has spoken to us through prophets, spoken to us through dream, spoken to you when you came to church, spoken to you while you were reading the Bible, spoken to you when you were listening to a message, spoken to you when a godly person in your life said something and you knew it was God speaking. But somehow you resisted that. At some point, that leads to God not speaking anymore. Because the reason why he speaks is so that the person will obey. If you had a field and you planted seeds for oranges, every year you come and you plant seeds there, then you wait, no oranges come out. Then another next year you come, you put seeds there, oranges, no oranges come out, right? Will you continue to plant on that field you want, right? You know this field is not going to produce anything, right? And you know, even if you sow seeds there, there's nothing that's going to come from there. And when the word of God comes to us, it's supposed to enter us and through obedience bear fruit. And when God knows that that's not there, he stops speaking. And it sounds kind of sad, and it is extremely sad here because he could have repented. Could have said, God, I'm sorry for the times I did not listen. Sorry for the times when you spoke to me and I didn't do it. Forgive me, right? He could have just said, God, I'm jealous against this other Christian. This is a David and I'm trying to go harm him. He hasn't done anything to me. I'm just jealous. I repent of that. God would have spoken to him. But he didn't. Right? He just needed God because he wanted God to show him how he could get out of trouble with this battle that was against him. When we're trying to use God just to get out of trouble, he will also not speak. But when we come to him because we desire to know his will as a lifestyle, it's like God, every day we come before God, we say, Lord, speak, I will obey. God will speak to us through his scripture. He speak through the Bible. He makes sure that there's a word that comes to us. But when God knows that there's not a heart of obedience there, that there isn't a heart that's going to take things seriously, God will not speak. And usually when that happens, when we go and we seek God and we're like, we're now in trouble and we're like, God, I need your help here. And then there's no response. We do like Saul. We go find a worldly way to solve our problem. We go around and we find a way. We don't go to a witch, go so-and-so like Saul did here. But we say, God is not working. I'm going to go find my answer elsewhere. And today I'm trying to plead with us. Let's get back as believers to a place where we live life by a real, honest, day-by-day dependence on God. When problems come, when situations come, when God allows us to be in a desert, when God allows us to be in a place where, you know, where we're facing various situations, we turn to Him every day. We're like, God, what is your word about this? What do you want me to do here? What is your direction for me in this particular circumstance? When we develop that lifestyle, we will see that our inner person, our inner being is fed and fulfilled. And we will see that we no longer have to be all the time entertained and filling our lives with earthly pleasure, because the rest of our being is basically dying, right? The word of God did not come to Saul here in this particular situation, and we know the result. He went to war and he died, right? When the word of God stops coming, it's just a matter of time before there's spiritual death in one form or another, right? At the point where God wasn't speaking to him, he must have known, I am in deep trouble. And at that point, there's only one way out. It is to repent. It is to humble ourselves. Let me also say that there are things about which God has already spoken. Okay? There are things about which God has already spoken. God has said that you have to forgive those who have hurt you. You don't go to God and say, it is God's will for us every day to forgive those who have hurt us. It is God's will for us every day to be faithful at our jobs. It is God's will for us every day to be kind to our neighbor and to the person we meet on the street. It is God's will for us every day not to be proud and arrogant and boastful. It is God's will. We know all these things. And when we take those things that we already know seriously and we do them, God would also be speaking to us daily on the things that are specific to us and for that day. In this case here, Saul was a man who had now spent several years now, at least 13 years that Saul has spent at this point in his life doing things that he knows were wrong. Killing innocent priests, pursuing a man who had done nothing to him but had actually been good to him. He knew those things were wrong. And instead of turning and repenting and changing about those things, he insisted on his own way. And at the end, you find that when you read this story in another book of the Bible, in Chronicles, the Bible says that Saul died because of his disobedience, but it specifically says that and because he went to consult the witch. It means that that was the final act that ended things for him. It means that even up to that point, he could have turned and that death wouldn't have come to him, right? But it was like, at this particular point where he was like, okay, if I'm not hearing from God, I'm going to go do it my own way. At that point, that was the end for him. In the New Testament, you can write it down and read it later. It says in Hebrews 12:25, today let us make sure that we do not that we do not neglect, or that we listen, that we pay attention to the one who speaks from heaven, right? Make sure that you listen to the one who speaks from heaven. God is alive, and he moves in the lives of his people. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And if you and I are serious about walking with God, and we're serious about getting close to God, if we come to him with a desire that says, God, please, I do not want to go another day without having a clear sense that you've given me something to live on for this day, without knowing that you've given me a word to live on today. If we go to God with that, our lives will change dramatically. Your life will change. What I'm talking about today, when you get up every day, you make time for God. You tell him, God, speak to me. What is your word for me today? I will obey. I will walk today according to that word. If we do that, our lives will change dramatically. It will be a night and day thing, because it is impossible to hear from God daily and not live the kind of life that Jesus lived. He lived the kind of life that he lived because every day he went to his Father, and he knew, and that was what he was living on, even more than the daily food that he ate for his body. He lived on that word and depended on that word even more than the average human being depends and lives on the physical food that he gets in his body. Men will not live by bread alone, but by every word, every one of those daily words that God gives to us every day. Let's have a hunger and let's have a thirst for that word to come into our lives every day. Let's tell God, Lord, I'm sorry for the times in the past when I was stubborn and I did not listen. Let's tell God, I'm sorry for the time in the past you spoke to me and I ignored. Let's tell the Lord, I'm sorry for those times when I ignored even the things that are written in the Bible. I didn't take it seriously. But now speak and I'm going to obey. And I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go and try to find another way to go about life. I'm not going to go look for a witch. I'm not going to turn to a man. I'm going to turn to you. And I want to say another thing in closing, what I mentioned at the beginning. You know, we're approaching that time soon, next month, where it becomes officially the holiday period in the U.S. There's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas and New Year and so on. In the 45 days between mid-November and end of December, there are more suicide during that 45 period in the U.S. than all the other times of the year, right? And that is, and it is a bit mind-boggling, because that's the time when, you know, everybody's supposed to be celebrating, right? It is a time where everybody feeds their body a lot, where you go to Thanksgiving, you eat a lot, you go to party, Christmas holiday party, and all that kind of stuff. People get drunk and so on, and all these things. It is the time when people focus on their selfish needs more than any other time, more than any other time of the year. Yet people also realize that those things aren't satisfying their inner being. It is also the time when people get to sit down, and when people are gathering around family and they're realizing that they've also missed some of the most important things in life. And there is a lot, and you see, that's the statistic for just the ones who actually end up taking their own lives. But then there are those who just are depressed and unhappy, but don't go to the point of harming themselves. And if that's you, if you're in one of those who, inside of you, you are like, they're just you're battling with this depression, you're battling with all these things, you're not finding inner peace and inner rest and so on. Let me suggest something to you. On the authority of God's word, maybe you should consider whether you've been just trying to live on bread alone. I hear people say that, I have a plan, I don't like it. Every time I hear someone say, I don't like it here, I don't like Boston, it's this type of city, like I'm going to go to this city because it's got this and this and that, and I'm going to be happier there. I don't like the water here, I don't like the weather here, I like to be close to the beach. And some people are the reverse, I like the cold and I like the thing. All that is telling me, this is someone whose inner being is not satisfied. And they think that if they just rearrange and change their physical circumstances, something inside of them is going to be better. And that's not going to work, right? And people think they think that what they need is a relationship. They get married to someone. And then after that, they go ahead and they divorce that person. And they say, you know what? I just found the wrong. I was just a wrong person. Now I'm going to go find the right person, you know. And then you look by the numbers that the second marriages have higher rates of divorce than the first marriages, and the third marriages have higher rates of divorce than the second ones, right? It tells you that someone is looking for something to satisfy their inner person using things that cannot do that. Maybe what they need to do is first come to a place where they begin to live, to seek out what is God's will for me? What is His word for me every day? What is His will for me in my daytime? What are those things that God has already said that I am disregarding in my daily life? Is there a habit that I have that I practice? And that I know God says no to? Is there controversy between me and Him? Am I hearing His word daily? I want to suggest to you that if you just begin to approach life like that, things are going to change for you and your inner being. The mistakes that we have made is to think that, you know, we go about our lives, we'll make sure our earthly needs are met. On top of that, along the way, we're also going to come to church. You know, we're going to have Jesus as an addition. But no, it's not like that. It is that the thing we live on is Him. The thing that our lives are sustained by, the thing that our lives run on, it is that ability to come to God on a daily basis, receive a word from Him, receive something supernatural from Him. Then we go on and live our lives. Those who live like that have an inner fulfillment and an inner satisfaction that ironically even makes them, their earthly and material lives, more enjoyable. Not because the circumstances necessarily change, but because they realize that those things aren't as prominent as they were once in their lives. They don't occupy the same level of importance that they were, that they had before. So you could have Jesus, in this case, Jesus had just spoken to a woman, shared the gospel with him, and that woman had been saved. And that did something to him. That did something to his inner man, that when they brought him food, he was less interested. May God help us to enter that food. May God help us to know what that food that Jesus said that they didn't know anything about. May God help us to know it and live by it on a daily basis. Amen. Let's pray. There's something Sister Fumi said earlier at the beginning of the meeting about discipline. There's a discipline to what I'm talking about. And I'm speaking to all of us, myself, and this is just for you. This is a word for me also. There has to be a discipline the discipline of making sure that, God, I'm going to give you this time. I was sharing with someone that if you want even your earthly circumstances to change, at least have something in your life that you can say to God that this is a time that nothing is going to touch in my life. Even just as a way for you to show God that you take Him seriously. I said to him, even just making sure that you come to church twice a week, not because church is going to change your water, but just as a way to show God, this is something that will never vary in my life. I'm going to be there and I'm going to give you that time. Even that alone, just having that stability and that discipline is going to tell God that, okay, I'm taking God seriously. And God will respond to that and begin to change other things in your life. I want us to pray and ask God to help us with that discipline. That there's going to be a time in our day, every day when we turn off the phone, we turn off everything, when we give God His time. Some believers go to Facebook first thing in the morning, instead of coming to God and receiving a word from Him. We have to come to a point where we realize that we've been trying to get to feed ourselves from the wrong things. Let's pray and ask God to give us the discipline for all of us, and the hunger and the desperation to go before God like a hungry man goes to the source where he knows that's the only place I'm going to get food for food in order for me to survive on this particular day. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to develop a life where we depend on you, Lord. Father, I pray that you will deliver us, O God, from just trying to make sure, Lord, that our earthly needs, Lord, are met. Lord, deliver us from the deception that has been our greatest need. Father, I pray that you open our eyes, Lord, to see that what we've needed all along was a communion with you. May your word come to us, O Lord. Father, I pray that your word may come to us, O God. Father, give us the discipline, O God, to make the time, the discipline to concentrate, the discipline to honor you, Lord, by coming to you, Lord, and making the time. Father, forgive us for the pride of assuming that we can make it through this life if we just have enough money or just have the right relationship or the right people in our lives or the right job or the right place and so on. Father, forgive us. Father, teach us in a new way to depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen.